baptized, and he's going to be deployed. And he tried to tell me what his schedule was going to be, and I couldn't follow it, but he's going to be gone from us, and he won't be here for our next sacrament service. And it's important for the body to come together to share in this service of oneness, that we might partake of the bread and wine in remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we're glad that we were able to have this service and to share it with Andrew and his family. For a scripture reading, I would like to share with you from the book of Moroni, chapter 6, starting with verse 3. And none were received unto baptism, save they took upon them the name of Christ, having a determination to serve him to the end. And after they had been received unto baptism, and were wrought upon and cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost, they were numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. And their names were taken, that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God, to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who was the author and finisher of their faith. And the church did meet together oft, to fast and to pray and to speak one another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of the bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. Let's continue with the singing of hymn number 77. And following this, Brother Rich Adams will be giving us invocation. 277. Oh, number 9, I mean. I'm sorry. Number 9. Okay.
Praise ye the Lord, 'tis good to raise your hearts and voices in his praise.
Father, we come this night and pause in our busy day that we might gather in this house, and that you might send your spirit to be with us this night, and that you might be with all the ones that are serving this night, but be with Bob as he brings a message this day, and that we gather here as a family to share with Andrew that we partake in the feeling of a family before he goes away from us. And Father, we recognize that this is a communion service, that we come forth and leave our sins at your feet and sin no more. We come not worthy to do this, but we ask that you be with us this night, and that you bless each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
While Brother Vance and Larry are preparing the emblems, if you will turn now to hymn number 277, we will remain seated and sing number 277 in preparations for our partaking of the bread and wine.
Facing the heavens. I'll hear the prayer on the breath. O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of Thy Son, and witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son, and always remember Him and keep His commandments, which He has given them, that they may always have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
As the prayer is asked over the wine, could we kneel facing the elements? O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember Him, that they may have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Continue in singing a hymn, and following the singing of this hymn, I've asked Brother Bob Bates if he'd bring us remarks this evening. So if you turn your hymnals to 396, remain seated, and Brother Bob will share us following in this singing of this.
Oh, bless me now, my Savior.
I'm delighted to be here tonight, see all these happy faces of my friends and my loved ones. Andrew, I'm going to be directing some comments to you, so don't be surprised, all right? I'd like to open up by reading a scripture from the book of Ether. For those who want to follow, it's in the first chapter, the 31st through the 33rd verse. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is a choice above all other lands. Wherefore he that doth possess it shall serve God or shall be swept off. For it is the everlasting decrees of God, and it is not until the fullness of iniquity among the children of the land that they shall be swept off. I was over to the Hughes household the other day. We had a building committee meeting, and I was the first to arrive, so we were standing in their kitchen, and we were discussing the world as it is today, and especially our country, and how things have changed since we were young, perhaps in as late as 50 years ago. It seems like the news, the sitcoms, the government, all of these things, the people in general, are just accepting standards that are no longer usable. The standards are collapsing all around us, and it's up to us in our lives to keep those standards up so that we have God's help with this in spirit. I'm going to pull a Frank Fluff Fry here. Does everybody see that? You know what that is, don't you? One of my favorite fruits. Oh, it's not going to stand up very well. There you go. That pear is inedible at this time. It's green. It's hard. It's almost tasteless. The sugars in it haven't developed yet. And the best way to develop it is put it in a paper bag and let the gases exude from the pear itself. And if you need more help, put an apple in there with it, and it will ripen in a couple of days, and it'll be delicious. This is what I call is the opposite of ripening in iniquity. It's the ripening in righteousness. We're not unlike that pear in some ways, in that when we first come to Jesus, we're hard, we're tasteless, we don't have the sweetness in our soul that Jesus would want. And so the Spirit, an invisible, I wouldn't call it a gas, but the Spirit is there to help us, to bring us to a point where we are sweet and loving to each other as we should be. Andrew, you're going to be in a foreign land. It's going to be a new experience, I assume. You've never been over before? Okay. This will be a new experience for you because you're going to be in the land of the Muslims. And you're going to have to be careful of what you do and what you say. And this is, and you must understand that repentance is the way of life now that you have to live to be able to receive the full blessings of God. I have something I got out of Billy Graham's column the other day, in which someone says, "Dear Billy Graham, my mother keeps trying to get me to give up the way I'm living right now.
But why should I? Maybe God doesn't like it either, but if I confess my sins before I die, he'll still forgive me, and I'll make it to heaven anyway, won't I? And this is his answer. How do we know you'll even have the opportunity to turn to God just before you die? A sudden accident or a heart attack could claim you, and then it would be too late. And if you might find your heart is so hardened by sin, you wouldn't even want to turn to God. But the real issue is this. God's forgiveness comes to us only when we truly repent of our sins and honestly commit our lives to Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. From what you say, however, you have no interest in repenting of your sins and turning from them, either now or later. Right now you think you're having a good time, but are you really? Someday, as your mother knows, you will reap the consequences of your sins, because the sin always has consequences. But most of all, you're missing out on the greatest adventure any person can have. The adventure of walking with God and doing his will every day. Do not be disturbed, but turn to Jesus Christ and open your life to him. God loves you, and life's greatest joy comes from following him. That's a message I want to use when I go down south to my Baptist relatives, because some of them don't feel quite the way we do. Sometimes we sit around blaming God for the things that happen to us when they're really just our own shortcomings. For example, you might say after something bad happens to you, "Oh dear God, why did this happen to me?" And in essence, you're saying, "Why did you put this on me?" And that's the wrong attitude to have. What you need to do is to look back upon your own shortcomings and try to figure out what you have done that has caused this, if you have done anything. And if that's the problem, then repent from it. Jesus said, repent, repent, repent. He never said, I will give you my grace and you will be saved. He never said that in any of the scriptures that I know of. His preaching just said, repent. And that was because it was needed. So blaming God for our shortcomings is not a way to do it. Looking for our blessings. If you take your scriptures, Andrew, and I hope and assume that you're going to take your scriptures with you, you may have a lot of time on your hands. And that is a good time to be searching the scriptures, particularly the Book of Mormon. I found that to be the biggest companion I could have to the Bible. It brings me lots of confidence. It brings me lots of understanding of what's going on and what God wants from us. I, too, like you, have served in the service. I was 21 years in the Air Force. Flew fighter jets, and I had plenty of time to mull over my shortcomings. A lot of times I was in places that I did not want to be. And I'm not talking about countries. I was in Germany, I was in Japan, I was in Okinawa, I was in Tripoli, Libya for a while too, and Casablanca, Morocco. And those were interesting experiences. In fact, my 21 years in the Air Force was probably my greatest adventure, except for the adventure I'm having now with Jesus Christ. I say there were places I'd not want to be. Sometimes I had to go eat at the officers' club because that's where the best food was. But as soon as I got through eating, all my colleagues went to the bar and they started drinking. And I would go to the reading room and read what they had there, or the scriptures I had with me. A lot of the fellas asked me about it too, and I was not afraid to tell them. There was a lot of times when they had happy hour and such that I ended up having to put some of my colleagues to bed. The way of Jesus is not a macho way. I know that you're a pretty big fellow and you could be easily think in terms that way, and Rich are as big as he could slam me down in one fist, but he wouldn't do it because he's my loving brother, you see. I know that. Caring, loving, Jesus is our Savior, and you got to keep that foremost in your mind. There were times in my service when I needed God, and praying was not just getting down on my hands and knees. Praying was just thoughts, thinking about him, talking to him, actually, in many, many cases, especially in tight situations. So you got to understand that caring and loving is the ministry that Jesus put out. And that's what he expects out of you, to be kind to everyone, to be loving, and to hold Jesus up as your Savior. I'm going to read from another scripture from the Book of Mormon that I found has been one of the things that I've always loved. It comes from Mosiah, 1st chapter, 52nd verse, begins there. I say unto you, brother, that if you render the thanks and the praise which your whole souls has power to possess to that God who hath created you and hath kept and preserved you and hath caused that ye should rejoice and hath granted that ye should live in peace one with another, I say unto you that if ye should serve him who hath created you from the beginning and are preserving you from day to day by lending you breath that you may live and move and do according to your will, even supporting you from one moment to another, I say if you should serve him with all your whole soul, yet you would be an unprofitable servant. Behold, all he requires of you is to keep his commandments. He has promised you that if you keep his commandments, you should prosper in the land. And he never doth vary from that which he has said, never. Therefore, if ye do his commandments, he doth bless you and prosper you. Now, in the first place, he has created you and granted unto you your lives for which ye are indebted to him. And secondly, he doth require that ye should do as he has commanded you. For if you do, he doth immediately bless you, and therefore he has paid you, and ye are still indebted unto him, and art and will be forever and ever. Therefore, of what have ye to boast? And I say that ye ought, can ye say aught of yourselves? And I say nay or no. You cannot say that thou art even as much as the dust of the earth, yet thou wast created of the dust of the earth, and behold, it belongeth to him that created you. And I, whom you call your king, am no better than ye yourselves are, for I also am the dust. And Andrew, when we remember that God has created us out of the dust, and he created me right out of the dust too. The wonder of it all must stick in your mind, because God has so much power. Brother Fry mentioned last week about the possibility this could happen by chance. It's so remote, so far remote, that is being possible. Like he said, it was like rolling the dice for number 13 and trying to find that. When you get over there, you're going to find people of different religions. And they're going to be watching you. And you may want to exert yourself as a good Christian, but you want to be careful what you do, because they are in full command of the religious activities within the country. You may or may not have any problems. The best thing I could tell you to do is to love God, do your duty, and serve your country. And doing that, you can't go wrong. May God bless you, Andrew, all that you do, and come back to see us. We want you back.
When we began planning this special service, we were including Manny Morales in this because, as many of you know, he was going to be going to the Marines, and he pulled a quick one on us. They called him up and said, "Hey, are you ready to go?" And he said, "Sure I am," so he's gone already. But I've asked Brother Ray Sams if he would offer a special prayer of blessing for Manny Morales and Andrew Butler at this time.
Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before Thee at this time. And we thank You, Father, for Your love that You have for Your children. And we just pray, O God, that Your Spirit might be with these two young men as they go about their duty of serving their country. I just pray, O God, that You give them peace. Comfort them, Lord, in their loneliness. And I pray, O God, that Your Spirit might go with them. Be with them, Lord, in their loneliness. For I know there will be times of being separated from their families. I just pray, God, that You comfort them and give them peace. Help them, Lord, to not get caught up in the evil things of this world, but to trust in the Lord their Savior with all their hearts, might, mind, and strength, that they might always be found doing Thy will, and that they might be in tune with Thy Spirit, that they might listen to that still small voice that might give them warnings of things that come about. So I just pray, Father, that Your Holy Spirit will guide them and direct them and be with Andrew's family, Lord, as he's gone. Comfort them and give them peace, Lord. I know there are going to be many lonely hours. And I just pray that Your Spirit will be with each one. Bless them, Father. I pray they might trust in Thee with all their hearts. And Father, I pray that we might continue to hold Him up in prayer each and every day. That You might bless them, Lord, and comfort them. We'd ask You blessings in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
When Andrew and Danielle got here, I went out to talk to them for a minute at their vehicle, and I stood there for a moment and kind of looked at Andrew, and he kind of looked at me and said, "You want me to say something tonight, don't you?" I said, "Well, no pressure, but if you'd like to, we'd be happy to have you come say a few things." So I asked Brother Andrew if he'd like to come up and say a few things that we would allow him that opportunity.
First off, I want to thank you all tonight for coming out. It's been, these last couple weeks have been kind of stressful on me and the family. I haven't quite been thinking about it too much, because because I keep thinking I'm going to wake up and it's going to be a dream. Apparently it won't go away now. After 12 years of being in the service, I never thought I'd be where I'm standing at now. And I was only 9 months in when 9/11 hit, when it happened. And it was about the scariest thing in my life, because for about a month or two, I had to call like every day where my unit at the time, where I was. I've done a few things in the guard in the last 12 years, but nothing to this magnitude. I'm going to have a lot of misses this year. I'm going to miss a wedding, a little one's first year of kindergarten, and the birth of our third child. But I won't have any worries, because I know she's got a great support system around her, with the family, the church, and everything. So that's eased me a lot through this. And now that the time's getting like way closer than it needs to be right now, someone looked at me the other day and could tell by the way I was acting that I was nervous and getting a little jittery. And I have been. But the way I'm looking at it, my father told me this about 2 months ago, that each day I wake up, I'm just that much closer to going home. And today I saw him, and it was not good at all. It finally started to sink in that the time's coming. So, kind of taking its toll on my mother too. But I'll be praying for them every day, because their health ain't always the greatest, and anything else, like, and their health ain't always the greatest, and that's my biggest worry with them. But I'm not getting to look at them. I'm going off track. But I do appreciate you all coming out tonight. Means a lot to me. Means a lot to Danielle. Maybe not so much the kids. But that is all I have to say. God bless you all. Have a safe trip tonight on your way home. And just thank you all for everything.
So we're called to be his family, so, well, we're a family. In closing, if you turn to number 60, we'll stand for this, and Brother Farron will close us with a closing prayer. Number 60.
Till we meet, till we meet again. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this special opportunity to be here tonight. We pray a special blessing for Manny and Andrew also, that your Spirit will be with them at all times, that when they're by themselves and they may hear your small voice, that you will protect them and guide them and direct them. We pray that you'll bring them both safe to us home again. And I pray a prayer on this close of this service. These things I pray in Jesus' name, amen.